Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613. We welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud, Chulin Yud Beis, Chulin 12a, pagination is 23. We'll start about midway on the page, in the middle of a line, Bo'o minei Rav Dimi Bar Yosef me Rav Nachman, a question that was posed regarding Shechita. Now, jumping to the conclusion of the Gemara, we have a principle that even though Kodshim, things in the Beis HaMikdash, would have the halacha of misasek bekodshim posel, if a person did not have the proper intent, it would be invalid. When it comes to shechita, we have interesting rule that shechita does not require permission of the owner, and it does not require the intent of the shochet. As long as a good shechita occurred, we're good. Again, kodshim would be different, but if it's regular, just to make it kosher, the shechita is far more lenient. So let's begin as the Gemara begins the topic. The question was posed. Ha'omer l'shlucho, a person says to a messenger, Tzei u'shechot, go and shecht my animals. V'holach, and now the owner goes, without any feedback from the shliach, knowing if he did it or didn't do it, umata shachut, and he finds that it's already been shecht. Mahu, what's the halacha? Can he assume that the messenger is the one who shecht it, and all is good? Amalo, he answered him, cheskaso shachut. The chazaka, the assumption, is that it's shecht correctly. He then continued and asked, Ha'omer l'shlucho, person tells a messenger, Tzei u'terom, go and tithe my produce. Certain tithes have to be given to the Kohen, to the Levi. V'halachu matza tarum, and he finds that it's already been tithed. So can he assume that it was the messenger who did it? Mai, what's the halacha? Amalei, ein chaskaso tarum. It's not considered reliably tithed. Manafshoch, what is on your mind? If the assumption is that the messenger does what he was assigned to do, afilutru manami, so why can't we assume by the tithing case that it was done correctly? And if you don't assume that the shliach is the one who did it, and somehow someone else did it, afilu shechita nami lo, so shechita should also not be good. Amalei, he told him, l'chiteichol ala kura de milcha, when you'll measure out for me a kur of salt, we have to know what this expression means, but for our purposes, he says, I'll explain it to you. La'olam ein chazaka shliach osa shlichuso. His explanation was, we do not assume reliably that the shliach is the one who did it. Ushchita, but the reason shchita is lenient, is inami dilma inish acharina shama va'azal shachat. Even if we assume that someone else might have heard the directive and gone and done the shechita, Rav Mitzui Meitz a shechita mumchen hein. Most people that would take the initiative and do a shechita are properly trained. And that's an interesting working assumption the Gemara is presenting. Teruma, but when it comes to tithing, Dilma ina shacharina shama va'azal toram, it could be that someone else heard the directive and went and did it. He thought he was doing a nice good deed. Havalei torim shalom midas, but it was done without intent because the owner only authorized the messenger to do it. Ve'atorim shalom midas ein terumas ha'teruma. If a person does the tithing without permission, it's no good. We have a rule, shaluchachem ledaitachem. A messenger can do it, but it has to be with the consent of the owner, with the knowledge of the owner. And that's the distinction between shechita and teruma. If an outside person had done it, by shechita, as long as it's good, it's good. By teruma, even if he did everything accurately, if he didn't have the consent, the directive of the owner, it's not going to be good. So that's our first principle for this selection, that shechita does not require permission. And if someone else would have come in and done the shechita, as long as it's good shechita, we're good. Let's turn over the page. And about 11 lines down, there's a two dots in middle of the line. And then, v'kulan sheshachtu va'acherim. Even if a person who's of limited intelligence, cheresotavakotan cases, would do the shechita, if someone would be roim or some watching them, shechitas and keshera, it would be kasha, meaning you have an underage or an intellectually limited person who's well-trained and they know how to wield that knife and they know how to go in and out properly. If someone is watching them and sees that they didn't deviate from the protocol, they didn't push too hard, they didn't get distracted and wait in between, as long as someone was watching them, it would be a good shechita. So apparently, shechita doesn't require a significant intent because these people of limited capacity would not be able to invest it with that intent. Man tana delo bo'inan kavana l'shechita, the Gemara asks, who is it that says that you don't need kavana by shechita? Amar Rava Rabbi Nosson hi. Rava said it's the opinion of Rabbi Nosson. Detani oshia ze'iri dimin chevraya. The following statement was made, Zorak sakin lenoatza bekosel. A person threw a knife in order to embed it in the wall. He was intending to store it there. Vahalcha v'shachta, and in the process, let's learn, on its way going towards the wall, it did a proper shechita. Kidarko, as it's going. Rabbi Nosson machshev, achachamim poslim. Rabbi Nosson says it's kosher, and the Chachamim say it's no good. Hutani lavahu amar lo halacha ki Rabbi Nosson. And we follow Rabbi Nosson, the lenient opinion, that it's considered a good shechita, even though there was no intent for shechita, but it is koach gavra. It's the power of a human being. You threw it. V'habainan molech u'mayivi, the Gemara asks, don't we need going and coming? We need the strokes of the shechita, back and forth. So the Gemara gives an answer, shehalcha uval kedarka. It actually went and came. So Rashi discusses this. Rashi says, shechotcha b'halichaso, v'hiksa b'kosa v'choza v'chotcha. Suggestion here is that it cut the animal on the way to the wall. Then it bounced off the wall and did the return cut in that way. Says Rashi, who had dinami, they could have given a different answer. The Motzi Litrusei, B'sakin sheyishba chutz letzavar kimalo tzavar. The concept of molech and mevi, going and coming, is because you don't have a very long knife. But if you'd have a long knife that's larger, significantly larger than the neck of what it is that you're shechting, an animal or a bird, it could just go one direction and do a proper shechita. So we have some possibilities over here, but what's most important to extract from this Gemara is that the person shechting indeed is required. We can discuss if bounce back from the wall is going to be a good shechita, but the fact that it was sent by a human being, even without intent, that's clearly going to be an acceptable shechita. The Aruch HaShulchan, Simen Gimel, in Yoredeya Se'if Dalid, asks about a monkey. If you would train a monkey to do a shechita, clearly it's not going to be kosher because it's not a human being. It could be a human being with limited intelligence or a human being with full intelligence who didn't bother intending. But it can't be a non-human because it has to be v'zavachta v'ochalta. A person obligated to eat kosher is the one who's shechting. And similarly, a robotic shechita, which would be brilliant. You have all kinds of electric eyes and controls and ways to hold the animal, and everything would be wonderful, and the machines don't get tired halfway into the day. But it's not going to be a good shechita because a human being, a Jew, obligated in kosher, has to be the one to do the shechita, which is a classic example of how the Gemara works, whether throwing the knife and it bouncing back, as Rashi describes, and doing the return shechita, the hova'ah of the holacha. If that's realistic or not realistic, throwing a knife and it accidentally did a good shechita, hey, why not? Looked good. Is that realistic or not? Makes no difference. The Gemara stages the case in order to teach the principle of shechita, that it needs to be a human being, but it does not have to be a human being with intent. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.